Carell cast, and that would make me, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay, so very glad you are joining me. If you are on Patreon, I'm trying this. I hope it works. We'll get it worked out. It is going live out to Patreon right now, and only to you. So I hope this works, and this is the way it's going to be. Welcome to all of you Patreon subscribers. There is a chat room at YouTube. You can also use the chat room at my website, reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell.com. That chat room still works. It is still there. And I would say just go ahead and utilize that one instead of the one on YouTube because you're used to the one on my website. So watch on your Patreon, but use the chat room at reallycarell.com if you want to. That's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm at. I'm at the chat room, reallycarell.com. This video will not appear on Saturday and Sunday on my website. It will only appear at Patreon. Monday through Friday, you guys are going to get audio with no video. That's the way that's going to be. Okay, so I hope this is going out live. I hope you're getting me because I have got a show for you today. Boy, do I have a show for you. The first thing we want to talk about, though, is sexual assault run amok. Okay? Sexual assault run amok because we have to believe a couple things. Either everybody in, I guess, the world is a sexual predator. This is all going on just a bit much. It's coming out about everybody. Now, Anthony Edwards from ER. This morning, Anthony Edwards has come out and said that as a teen, he was molested in Hollywood. Kevin Spacey has stuck his hands down the pants of every single person in Hollywood that was under the age of 30 that he's ever worked with. I really believe he has. It is all getting really out of control, just beyond belief. And I, for one, I'm getting tired of it because I don't like the way the conversation is going. And the conversation is going that everybody is a victim, first of all. That if you've ever had any act of sexual aggression done to you, you're a victim. And you're not. You're just human. And no one is really talking about that. No one is really saying that. No one is coming out and saying, you know what, come on. I mean, we're all human. We've all encountered somebody who was, you know, aggressive, somebody who was, let's say, wouldn't take no for an answer, you know, that sort of thing. We have all encountered that. We really have. And are we all victims? You know, are we all victims? Well, no. All. You know, we're not. We are not all victims. By the way, I just checked on Patreon, and there is a post there for all of you patrons, and it has the video streaming live in it. So please go to your Patreon, okay? Go to your Patreon and log in, and you'll see the video. So is everyone that's had, you know, are you a victim if you've had someone stick their hand down the front of your pants? I tend to say no. You know, maybe it's because I'm a guy. You know, maybe some of this and the way I feel about some of this is because I'm a guy. It could be. It could be. You know, I don't live my life in fear of someone attacking me sexually. I've lived my life in fear of someone attacking me because I'm gay or a hate crime happening. But I don't live my life in fear of being sexually molested. In fact, I've looked forward to it. I'm kidding. But, you know, for women, it's different. You know, it is different for women. Women have always, I guess every time a woman goes out of the house, every time she goes to work, every time she goes to the grocery store, pretty much every time a woman leaves the house, she's expecting to be sexually harassed. I mean, that's the impression I am getting, right, Miss Ember? The impression I'm getting is that every time a woman leaves the house, she basically is expecting for someone to harass her. And that's not a mindset that I have. That's a mindset that I have about being gay. That's not a mindset that I have about sexual assault. So maybe my whole viewpoint on this is peppered in the fact that I'm a guy. You know, and I have to tell you, to these guys, I have to step off camera to see what Ember is barking at. These guys who are all complaining about Kevin Spacey, I almost said Patrick Swayze, although he's been dead, someone probably could accuse him of something. But all these guys that have come forward and said, you know, Kevin Spacey did this, Kevin Spacey did that, part of me just wants to say, man the hell up. So what? So some guy reached down and grabbed your junk. Kevin Spacey, junk grabber. I mean, really, that's, to me, that's just, you know, okay, so he's a junk grabber. That's what he is. You know, we're, the holiday season's coming up. And at a holiday party, there's always the guy that you stay clear of because he's handsy. He's grabby. You don't go near him. Kevin Spacey would be that person, okay, at the party. Kevin Spacey, junk grabber. You know, just assume if you're on a set with Kevin Spacey and you're a guy, wear a codpiece, he's going to grab your junk. Well, you shouldn't have to put up with that, Carell. Why not? Why shouldn't you have to put up with people being sexual? We put up with people being mean, rude. You know, there's so many issues we could be talking about right now about the way people treat each other. But this months and months, now for months, the only thing that has dominated our news is who's been dorking who. And meanwhile, they've been screwing us royally behind the scenes. You know, I don't care who molested Anthony Edwards. I don't care who Louis C.K. is masturbating in front of. I really don't care. What I care is that every day, corporate America is trying to screw you without lube. They are trying to get their tax rate decreased. They are trying to get laws passed that you don't even know about and loosen their own regulations. Meanwhile, they can't drink the tap water at, you know, frickin' Disneyland. They got Legionnaire's disease possibly spreading around there. We've got homelessness we're going to talk about today on the West Coast, 11 cities in a state of emergency. You know, I am less concerned with who Harvey Weinstein has been screwing and who Donald Trump is screwing this week, and I mean quite literally. Okay, so as I'm stepping off camera again, as we, because Ember is out here having a fit, get in here, little honey, stop all that fitting, or I'll close this door. I'm gonna close this door. Let me, my co-host, I'm closing out my co-host. I never could do that to Andrew. Couldn't close him out of the room. He would open the door. So, you know, there's a lot of people screwing us every day, and I think the conversation's getting a little old. You know, I really do. I think, you know, because, okay, it's human nature. And now we're going to find out that almost everybody, and there is a huge difference. Look, Denise Walker is over in the chat room. Hi, Denise. Some of you, I don't know where you're chatting. You'll have to tell me. Are you chatting at the YouTube? Are you even used to this? This is brand new for me. I'm terrified today. I'm terrified. I've changed my whole world. We are now doing shows live on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, live. You can interact with me. You can chat with me. You can see me live Saturdays and Sundays. During the week, you won't be able to see me live. The shows will post at various times and there won't be video. There'll be shows, but it's not going to be done at a set time every day during the week. You're going to get me live for Patreon subscribers on the weekend. Okay, so I'm terrified that you guys aren't going to do it. I'm terrified that you know, you'll withdraw your Patreon support. I'm terrified about a lot. I have a lot of fear. But we're going to get through today and see how it goes. Get through tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 11:30, see how it goes. If you're out there and you want to see me live, then you've got to be a Patreon subscriber. Otherwise, you're going to get a daily show that's going to be fabulous. But live, if you want to see me, not hear me live, you'll hear me live Monday through Friday. But if you want to see me live, if you want to interact with me, if you want to chat with me, then you've got to be a Patreon subscriber. And there is a post there at Patreon with the live video. And then you can go to my chat room at reallycarell.com and chat with me. I'm sorry if it's a surprise to most of you. I did send out messages through Patreon. So I'm concerned that we are becoming this whole culture of victims now. We're all playing the victim really well. You know, oh, so-and-so touched me. So what? What did that do to you? You know, nothing. And that's what we don't want to acknowledge. The fact is that someone sticking their hands down your pants and feeling your junk, if you're a guy, it's not going to scar you deeply. It's not going to make you go into years of therapy. Now, maybe if you're a woman, because you're so on guard about being attacked, because you're so, how do I say this? It is a fear in your life as a woman that you're going to be attacked. So maybe it's different for you than it is for men. But for men, you know, you are not this victim. You are not this, oh my God, my whole life has changed because Kevin Spacey felt up my junk. I'm sorry, that's just, it's not, that's not, and that's the conversations we're starting to have now. And I don't like that. I don't, you know, because I really believe that there are people who are assaulted, okay? There are people who are assaulted. And what do you mean, is there audio someplace else? There's audio on the video. Tell me that there's audio on the video. Please tell me it's not just a picture. please tell me there's not just a picture of me with no audio. A talk show host without audio. That would be pretty funny. So I don't want us to confuse what it is to be a victim of sexual assault with, and I mean a real victim. You know, there are real victims who are thrown down, who are literally penetrated. They have their head forced down on someone's genitalia, well, and then they have to, you know, do things. That's assault, okay? That's horrible. That will scar you. No one is accusing Kevin Spacey of forced oral sex, forced anal sex. No one's accusing him of that at all, you know? No one. No one has accused him of that kind of stuff. And we're almost digitally erasing him. I mean, really, I think they're going to go back into all the movies he's made and digitally take him out. I really think that. They're going to, like, go in and CGI somebody else's face over Kevin Spacey. He is now going to be somebody else. I'm not making that up. I think they're actually going to do that. They already replaced him in a finished movie. The movie was finished. And now Christopher Plummer is going to step in and they're going to reshoot that. That is so stupid. That is so stupid. If we go back and scrub Hollywood and art clean of every person that was a womanizer, a molester, a sexual aggressive, we're not going to have any art. If we're going to go back and pull the work of every studio head that abused the people under him, we're not going to have any art at all. All right, don't forget, Patreon subscribers get me live every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 11:30. The rest of you are going to get live audio Monday through Friday as it posts. But if you want me on video, you got to pay. So please become a Patreon subscriber at Really Carell. That's reallycarell.com. Coming up next, an obscene story out of the fires up north. When I need it in the morning or the afternoon, I ain't too proud to beg. I ain't too proud to beg. You know what? In today's economy, every artist is begging you, buy my record, go see my movie. And I'm saying, hey, I am a progressive motorcycle riding, pot smoking queer, and I would like to stay on radio and television. So how about you join the party and support it? All you got to do is spend what you would spend on a coffee a month. $5. That's about it. Give 10 if you can. Give 20. Some people do. Why not? If you can afford it, $200 a year to have all this entertainment, weekly TV, daily radio. Come on. People are spending $150 a ticket to go see the Sexy Liberal Tour. Worth every penny, by the way. But that's a whole lot of support at $5 a month. So all I'm saying is put it in perspective. Just pretend you're buying a ticket to an annual show for $200 and you can break it up every month. Just go to Patreon, patreon.com/Carell or reallycarell.com and sign up now. Hey, it's Carell, and I really appreciate you checking me out on radio and podcasting. But, you know, television has always been where my heart is. And that's why I am so happy to tell you that Life in Segments is going strong on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. So tune in each and every week. Now, how about a little sample of what you're missing?
Hi, it's Carell, and in Hollywood terms, this is called a slate. And this is our third slate because this is our third year of Carell Life in Segments. That's right. Season 3 of Carell Life in Segments premieres right here on Free Speech TV in the month of September and will be on every weekend thereafter. And I wanted to tell you a little something about Season 3 before you just got all off into it. Three things happened that profoundly changed me before Season 3 or right at the beginning. First and foremost, there was the shooting in Orlando. That shooting in Orlando has profoundly changed me, as it should you, for the rest of my life. I am gay. I had been to Pulse nightclub as an entertainer. And quite frankly, to see so many young, beautiful gay and lesbians and their friends in the community gunned down in such a senseless manner, it just took its toll. And so a lot of the segments that you're going to see in season three are under the cloud, under the weight of the Orlando shooting. But the other thing that I wanted to do was something more fun. And that is, one of my heroes growing up was Huell Howser. My late husband, Andrew Howard, loved him some Huell Howser. If you live in California, you know who Huell Howser is. He could make the shop at the corner the most interesting shop in the world. And he did for years and years and years. So with Life in Segment Season 3, we try to get up in everybody's business and try to make everything seem a little more interesting to you in the spirit of Huell Howser. Also, right as we began filming, we lost my beloved Attila, my almost 12-year-old Chow Chow. We lost him to an unknown illness. Ember is still with me. It's just me and her now, the dynamic duo, Ember and I. But we lost Attila right at the beginning of season 3. We lost Pippa in season 2. To those of you with pets, you know that my heart goes out to you, and we're keeping a lot of pet segments in season 3 in honor of Attila, in honor of Pippa, and to show off Miss Ember, because she's quite a scene stealer. We are going everywhere from America's port, probably back to who knows where. We're going all over in season 3, so join us for Carell Life in Segments season 3.
That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.
Whether you're listening to me, Mark Levine, each Monday and Wednesday,
or me, Leslie Marshall, each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday,
you can hear us 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Here's a sample of what you'll hear.
What I saw was just the kind of thing that makes me proud to be an American. I saw elderly people. I saw a woman clearly in her 90s, frail woman. She didn't have to vote, but she had to vote. She wanted to vote. She was determined to vote. It didn't matter that it was this cold, pelting, drenching, bone-chilling rain. It didn't matter the mud. She was determined to get to the polls. She was determined to tell Donald Trump what she thought about him. She was determined to tell the Republican Party that she's tired, just tired of all the hatred and division and animosity that they're trying to spread throughout the country. And nothing was going to dissuade this woman from voting, and I helped her every step I could.
Again, that's Mark Levine every Monday and Wednesday.
And Leslie Marshall each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
You know, I have to tell you, on days that I'm filming Carell's Life in Segments for Free Speech TV and for my YouTube channel, Really Carell Tube, it's not work. It's so much fun. Brandon Riley Miller, the creative genius that he is, comes over with his crew, my sound people, Kurt and Steve. We're a little family, and we get together, and we film incredible segments either here at my home or out in the world or in Ireland or wherever we might be, and then he edits them into this miraculous TV show called Carell's Life in Segments, and poof, there it is. It was the realization of a dream. It was years in the making, and now it's 2 years going strong, entering its third season. 26 episodes await you online right now at Free Speech TV or Really Carell Tube. That's my YouTube channel, and I really need you to subscribe. Just go to my website, reallycarell.com, and click on subscribe, or just type in Really Carell Tube, and bam, there you are. Carell's Life in Segments. 26 episodes online right now and every weekend on Free Speech TV. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay, for those of you in the know. Just remember, Patreon subscribers who pay $4.99 a month or more get me live on video and live interacting with chat with me. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get a podcast that's fabulous and marvelous and a radio broadcast that's fabulous and marvelous. You're just not going to get me live on video. That's going to be reserved for my Patreon subscribers, and you want to interact with me. That, of course, is at reallycarell.com. You watch the video on Patreon, and you use my chat room at reallycarell.com. All right, imagine this. You know, the fires up north were horrific enough. They really were. And people in Santa Rosa, I mean, we haven't even begun to talk about that tragedy as a nation or about Houston or Florida and the fact that people are being priced out of their own homes that got destroyed. Some of the people can't rebuild because they can no longer afford the area. So they're being priced out of their house because they lost their house in the fire, and now they can't rebuild it for the insurance money, or the prices have gone up too high, and so they're stuck in a very sad situation. So we have to talk about that, letting people that were in the neighborhood move back in for affordable prices. But worse than that, imagine you're standing and you're watching your belongings all go up in flames. Your life. You know, I've thought a lot about that as I'm packing up Park Howard to get ready for a possible move January, February, March, somewhere around there. You're watching your entire life go away, okay? And some of you in the chat room can relate to this, you know? To me, some of you are in this area. You have friends, you know, in this area. And imagine you're standing watching your life burn to the ground. And yet the neighbor's house, okay, is got firefighters there. And these firefighters are fighting the fire and they're saving your neighbor's house and ignoring yours. Imagine that. Well, what would that be? What is that? You know what it is? It's private fire private fire brigades. It seems the insurance companies that insure these really rich homes, they actually employ private fire departments. And in Santa Rosa, the rich people, or some of the rich people, had private firefighters fighting the fires to save their homes. Now, I don't want to talk about the fairness of that. I don't want to talk about the obscene. I mean, can you imagine? One house is saved, the other isn't, because of private fire insurance. So if you had this private fire insurance, they sent private firefighters to your house. If you didn't, then you were just left up to the county. Is that really how we want the system to work? To where if you have a certain kind of insurance, your house can be saved from a fire, but if you don't have a certain kind of insurance, your house is just left to what the county can do? Is that really where we are now? In Santa Rosa, California, was it fair that some houses were spared because they could afford better insurance? I know it's an analogy for American life. I know it's just how things are. The wealthy don't live the same way we do. But when I heard that story come out of Northern California, a listener posted it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/realcarell. When I heard that story come out of Northern California, I was absolutely horrified. I was mortified that there were private insurance companies that paid for private firefighters that would let other houses in the neighborhood burn. They would let the house right next door burn to the ground because they weren't being paid to put out the fire. So long as the house that they were working on didn't burn, that's all they cared about. But if your house was a surrounding house and you didn't have that insurance, they would let it burn. That is really, truly sad. It really is. All right. Dr. David Stark is in the Bay Area, and Dr. David Stark did some research that made national news. He is trying to change the dialogue about guns. And as we reel in this country from the Texas shooting, we weren't even done reeling from the Las Vegas shooting, and I'm sure there's going to be another one here over the next week or two. As we reel from this, how do we change the dialogue so there's actually some action? How do we get America to talk about gun violence the way that it should be spoken of? Well, I am going to play that interview with the doctor. It's the first time I've tried such on this new revamped model of the show, so I hope it works. So stay tuned. Dr. David Stark is going to be with us, and he is going to tell us why guns are a public health risk. like a virus.
You know, I don't mean to brag or anything, but I can make your smartphone a whole lot smarter. How? With the Karelcast app. Now, whether you're an Android or an iPhone, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is go and get the Karelcast app. It is free. Karelcast. You're going to have my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. You're going to have so much right there, and you're going to have all the stuff that I retweet, and there's a whole lot of news articles that I know you're going to want to read. That's why you get the Karelcast app. It all flows in, and guess what? My weekly TV show is there, too. Just for you. You know, when I say the Carell Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallycarell.com and just click. Have you seen it? Well, you should. HiTheSeries.com. HiTheSeries.com was produced by Brandon Riley Miller, who does my show, Carell Life in Segments, and examines a family dealing with marijuana in a small town. HiTheSeries.com. Go watch it now.
Now, you're wondering what the gay guy is doing on TV talking about satin balls. And I'm telling you, if you need to pack a few pounds on that pooch, let's say you've got a pooch that you rescued and needs some weight. Let's say that your pooch has just recovered from a surgery or is going through something that made it lose a little weight and you need to pack on those pounds. Satin balls are the way, and we're going to tell you how to make them. First of all, consult your vet if you're going to put them on it even short term. Second of all, you do serve it raw, so if you have a problem handling raw hamburger, you may not want to do it. And third and foremost, it is not pet food, okay? It's a short-term solution to pack on the pounds. Or basically, if you were an American, it'd be like eating fast food three times a day. And honey, you've seen the results of that. So let's go to the kitchen at Park Howard, where we're going to tell you how to make satin balls for your dog or cat and your husband if he's really in a bad mood. Are we ready? Here I am, stuck in the kitchen with you. I'm singing to Miss Ember, who is over here in the corner of the kitchen, because I spend a lot of time up in the kitchen. And she wants to be here with me. Now, I'm up in the kitchen again for my doggies. Because Attila is old. He's almost 11. For a chow chow, that's old. And he's losing some weight. Now, I taught you here on my show how to make dog food for your dogs. I told you that that dog food was to be augmented by dry dog food. Well, Attila doesn't want to seem to eat his dry dog food in this heat because of the global warming. but it's been very hot in Southern California. So, I have found some things called satin balls, child. Oh, yes. We are in the kitchen to make some satin balls. And it's used by breeders to pack weight on around shows. It's used by rescuers if you rescue an animal and it needs to put some weight on. It is not something you want to put in their diet on a regular basis. And, of course, if your animal is losing weight unexplainably, just like a person, take it to the vet immediately. I have talked to my vet. And there doesn't seem to be anything organically wrong with Attila at the moment other than a slight loss of appetite. So we're going to try to stimulate it and pack some weight on him with these satin balls. So should you have an animal that needs to put some weight on, this might work. Now, I've never tried this. I've never done this before. I am a satin ball virgin up here in the kitchen. I truly am. I think Ember, we're safe to assume now at 7 months old. Last time you guys met her, what was she, a puppy? I think she's a puppy. Well, she's here. Come here, little girl. Come here.
That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.
Hello, Progressive Voices TuneIn listeners. I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week. We're talking about the recent wine country fires that raged through California's Napa and Sonoma counties in early October, leaving over 6,700 homes destroyed.
Thousands of lives changed in an instant. The uprooting of many seniors who were either living in assisted living, retirement homes, or nursing homes that were either damaged or destroyed by the fires.
Parents may have been brought into their children's home because their home actually burned down and they're staying with them. Boom, instant caregiver. People become instant caregivers every day when their parent has a stroke or something happens and the hospital discharges them and says, hi, you're now an instant caregiver. There's that conflict and that guilt. You love them, but you want your life back. And that's perfectly normal to feel like that. So I'm encouraging people to have a conversation with their loved one, set some realistic expectations in the house. If you want your mom to stay with you forever, start talking about sharing expenses. If you think your mom should move to an assisted living or to an independent living or just her own apartment, have that conversation and plan a date for when that's going to happen and what that's going to look like. And families are terrible at having these conversations.
Yeah.
And they have such a hard time making these plans because they feel like they're hurting their parents' feelings. But avoidance of conflict just creates more conflict. That's what I've seen. So
very true.
Be brave and start it. Throughout the U.S., you can go to the website that has care managers who can help have this conversation regardless of the circumstances, and that's aginglifecare.org. Do not go it alone. Get some expert advice.
Check out our show at nursetalksite.com and listen every Saturday and Sunday right here on Progressive Voices.
If you're listening to this show, you know I live a mixed up crazy life of everything from superstars to downright poverty. That's why I created Life in Segments. It's my world and your world reflected on TV. Go to lifeinsegments.com to watch now.
You're listening to The Carell Show.
Carell.
Crowdcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. Dr. David Stark has done some very interesting research, and he wants us to change the way that we think about guns. And I couldn't be happier because I think they're on the right track. Guns are a public safety issue. At least I feel they are. They are a public health crisis. And so I talked to Dr. David Stark about his research. Doesn't he sound like Tony Stark? And here's what he had to say. So let's go to that interview right about now. All right. I don't even know how to introduce you. You've got so many damn credentials and titles, good Lord. But Dr. David Stark is here, and I love his name for many reasons. Sounds like a superhero. The assistant professor of global health at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. I was born at Mount Sinai, just Mount Sinai, Florida. He's a physician. He's a psychiatrist. He's done residencies in New York. He's gotten degrees from Stanford and Harvard and Yale. This guy's smart. I don't know what he's doing here, but he is with us today. And I wanted to talk to you. You know, we're filming this around the holidays, and people always talk about the big issues of that year around their dinner tables. Mass shootings are going to come up. Las Vegas, we just had Texas. I would say the biggest, but every time we say the biggest, there's another biggest. I look at the United States, and I ask my viewers and listeners to look at us as a living, breathing entity, because we are. And if we look at us as a living, breathing entity, there is an infecting agent that is trying to kill us, and it is guns. And I would like to hear more of a medical approach to gun violence, and I read statements to that effect, and that's what I wanted to talk to you. How do you, as a doctor, view the gun violence problem in America?
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me. It's good to be here, and thanks for that nice introduction. I'm actually a pediatric neurologist by training and a biomedical informatician, which means that my work is. A quaint term that means I work with health data and figure out ways to make data more useful to us as researchers, as scientists, and as physicians and healthcare providers. So I'm not actually a gun violence researcher, but I am an interested, and involved person. And when I first learned that gun violence research was systematically being prevented from being carried out, that was what first led me to pursue this line of research, checking out whether and the extent to which.
Well, because as a numbers person, I would imagine that anyone saying we're not going to do research on something drove you bonkers.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. We need this data. We need these numbers. We need to know this.
Exactly. So that was what led me to do this, essentially what was a side project. There is data available on what's getting funded and, what's getting published out there. And it, turned out that research on gun violence was indeed both underfunded and understudied relative to other leading causes of death.
Well, and it's interesting that we talk about it as a cause of death, because I was talking to Ralph Nader, and I said, you got safety belts in every car. When you changed the debate, you made the debate about safety belts being a matter of public safety. Yes. It wasn't so much more an add-on in a car or some sort of optional equipment. It was a matter of public safety. I maintain that gun violence is a matter of public safety. It is just as dangerous as Ebola or... I mean, we've made so many changes for a virus that affected maybe 10 people, and yet we have mass shootings every day, and we're not... So how do we change the dialogue, Dr. David Stark? How do we get people to look at it, I don't want to say dispassionately, but change it from a constitutional right issue, or if we're going to go down that road, one of the rights that they mentioned first is the right to life, you know, and this is something that can take that away. How do we change the debate to a more level-headed one about, hey, this is killing you, we need to do something about this because it is affecting you, it is killing you?
Yeah, so I would agree. I think changing the debate starts with changing the way we talk about gun violence as an issue. It is a public health issue, and I'm a numbers guy, so I think that the numbers speak for themselves. And you know, there's this old adage that you cannot measure, you cannot manage what you don't measure.
Right.
So we need to do a better job of measurement. You know, and we know the numbers. The United States has the highest rate of gun-related deaths among industrialized countries. You know, more than 30,000 fatalities annually. And, you know, you make the comparison to automobiles, and I think that's a great comparison. You know, we had a dramatic decrease of automobile fatalities since the 1970s, and we didn't need to get rid of automobiles to do that. We just needed to do good, solid research on the contributing factors to traffic fatalities.
And it wasn't just seatbelts. Once we started studying these things, we talked about airbags, and we talked about the shatterproof glass. We talked about the railings that go along the freeways, and how we talked about the impact of what a bumper should withstand. So it opened up a dialogue to not just cars and seatbelts, but to how to keep people safe when they're in transport, period, you know, end of story. We make a lot of changes in our country based on things like 9/11. We totally changed air traffic and the way that we as people travel. I'm wondering, whenever there's an outbreak of a disease, we make radical changes. We, you know, some people wear masks, whatever. How do we get people to treat this as the infection that it is? Because it's spreading.
Let's use the same terms that we apply to infections and to, you know, epidemiological issues, because this is another one. So let's talk about contributing factors, alleviating factors, and let's do public health research. The research that I did found that over the period from 2004 to 2014, the mortality rate, if we can we can call it that, for gun violence has been about 10 per 100,000. That's about the same amount as poisonings, 13 per 100,000, or motor vehicle accidents, something like 12 per 100,000. And yet, you know, the funding that gun violence research receives is a fraction that of
well, not to mention the regulation. You mentioned poisoning. We have a ton of regulations to make sure people don't get poisons, first of all. And second of all, we have a ton of resources available for if they do. We also have law. You can't sell someone toxins and poisons. It's illegal. You will go to jail. So we have a lot of regulations around poisons, and we have a lot of regulations around cars, not just licensing and insurance and all these other things, but safety regulations as well. Do you think what's the biggest obstacle to getting the data? Is there a lot of funding on the other side to prevent? Is there a lot of lobbying being done to prevent? Because data is neither Democratic nor Republican. It's neither right nor left. Data is data. Data, data. It's what a little bite says to its... No, I'm sorry, but data, data. But data's nonpartisan, so why would anyone be opposed to it?
I think that's a very good question. So again, I think drawing light to this issue, this inequality, if you will, in research funding and the data being made available, I think just drawing light is can have a positive impact.
Does the CDC, who's in charge? Does the CDC control our data now about death and mortality when it comes to guns in America? Are they the organization in America set up to collect that data?
Yeah, so the CDC probably does the best job of any at collecting mortality statistics. And that's where I went to collect mortality statistics and see, you know, that gun deaths are you know, one of the top leading causes of death. They're not the only group that is tasked with researching. And importantly, you know, back in the 90s when the so-called Dickey Amendment was passed, this was the Congressional Appropriations Amendment that for disease control from effectively researching gun violence. And, you know, initially that that legislation applied only to the CDC, but it was subsequently expanded to apply to the National Institutes of Health, which has a far you know, bigger research budget and encompasses a lot more. So, you know, so there's definitely a lot of other federal entities that could be involved in this as well. And I would add that, you know, when traffic fatalities are researched as they are, you know, the government, the federal government collects data on hundreds of variables relating to each traffic fatality. You know, what speed the vehicle was going.
Oh, they closed the freeway for hours for a dead person. Hours and hours and hours. And people wonder why. It's because they're collecting data every which way from Sunday. They're out there, you know, with every. Now they even have the cameras that take the 360 view of everything and you know, they map out the scenes. And they're very thorough when there's a fatality. I'm a motorcyclist, and unfortunately, a few of my friends have gone down and been killed. And the scenes are closed off for hours and hours. Dr. David Stark is my guest. We're talking about research that he did that showed that gun violence is a leading cause of death in America and that it is a matter of public health and not so much a political issue. Are you optimistic? I have two questions for you. Are you optimistic that once we start receiving more and more of this data, we're going to be smart enough to know what to do with it? I mean, it took Australia one mass shooting of 40-plus people, and that's all the data they needed. They were done. They banned guns. You know, what? How many people, what data do you think we're going to have to look at before we go, oh, this is a problem?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I am an optimist in general. I wish I could say I were more optimistic in this case, but, you know, seeing shooting upon shooting and lack of action has chipped away at my usual optimism. But on the flip side, I do think that with data and research on what specifically are the contributing factors to gun violence, we can start tailoring our efforts toward those factors. I think we know what some of those factors are. You know, no one person should have access to an entire arsenal of weapons.
A hotel room filled with AR-15s and millions of, I mean, come on, who needs that, you know?
We don't need individuals, you know, having access to large magazines capable of firing, you know, so many bullets without
and
reloading.
Bump stocks, as these things are called, where they can modify something. Yeah, it's just unnecessary. With this data, as a person, have the numbers affected you or your life in any way?
You know, I think, I will say that my own attention was first drawn to this issue after the San Bernardino shooting. And when was that? That was December.
I lose track.
2017.
Yes. 80 miles from where I'm sitting, actually. I made a terrible joke the day that it happened. Someone said there's a mass shooting in San Bernardino. I said, oh, they were bored. Because there's a lot of guns out. And San Bernardino is a mountain community. You're in San Francisco. You may or may not know it. But it's the base. It's past Riverside, and it's before you go into the mountains. It's also the largest county in California, and it encompasses a large area. There's a lot of gun owners out there, a lot of gun owners.
So you know, that's how my attention was drawn to this issue. I think mass shootings tend to draw attention to the issue. But as I looked into the data and realized, you know, it's every day there are mass shootings, you know, four or more folks getting killed
definition.
By guns. And, you know, there are so many gun deaths happening, mass shooting or otherwise, that as I've learned more, and you asked about how the data has changed my perspective, I've recognized that it's really a far more entrenched issue than just one of mass shootings, although, of course, those are the events that garner attention and public.
Well, and of course, those are the issues that we're going to keep facing. Dr. David Stark, thank you so much for joining us. I am Carell. We'll be right back.
Carell Life in Segments is going where no other TV show has gone before. We are making the real in reality, honey. We are bringing you subjects that affect your life, whether it's cooking for the 99 and how to eat on less than 15 bucks a day in your own kitchen, or whether it's fun stuff like music or just being out in the world. We are showing you your world through my eyes and my life on Carell Life in Segments. Now, all you need to do is tune into Free Speech TV each and every week. You can do that online, through live stream. There's all kinds of ways. And every episode is at my website, reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell.com. Now, we exist because of your donations. You keep this show on TV, and you do it through GoFundMe.com/Carell. That's GoFundMe.com/Karel. Those are the only places you need to go to watch Carell Life in Segments. All you have to do is go to my website, Really Carell, to watch it. You can see it live on Free Speech TV, and you can support it at GoFundMe.com.
I'm David Pakman, host of The David Pakman Show on the Progressive Voices channel. Check out this clip from my show.
The American president, in his infinite wisdom and poised leadership, has traveled all the way around the world, or halfway around the world, to Asia, specifically to Japan yesterday, to South Korea today. And he has the great honor and responsibility of representing America abroad in front of the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, in front of Abe's wife and countless others, the Japanese emperor. And he was given the opportunity to speak, and he stated that he didn't know there were so many countries in the world until he became president of the United States, after, of course, doing the hallmark of any Trump speech, which is bragging about the fact that he won the election back in November. Video of Donald Trump poised, representing us as a statesman around the world, in particular in Japan.
So my relationship with Shinzo got off to quite a rocky start, because I never ran for office, and here I am. But I never ran, so I wasn't very experienced. And after I had won, everybody was calling me from all over the world. I never knew we had so many countries.
If Barack Obama had gone around the world just once to brag about his electoral victory, it would have been a constant, persistent series of apoplectic reports from right-wing media. Trump does it daily, and he's given a pass. And Trump is representing you around the world. He's representing American citizens throughout our humble planet. And the one person who speaks for us on this trip in Japan thinks to say he didn't know there were so many countries around the world. How is American exceptionalism being advanced by our president flying around the world to brag about his victory and admit to confusion about the number of countries on Earth? This is a man who can barely string two sentences together that make him sound anything short of moronic. And this was just the first stop in his Asia trip. It is already an international embarrassment. He tells the Japanese emperor that mass shootings can happen anywhere. Of course, Japan has almost none because they take the issue of gun violence seriously. And the real issue here, it's not really Trump, right? Trump is the consequence of the problem. The root of it is not necessarily anti-intellectualism, but pseudo-intellectualism, which I've talked to you about before. I wish I could say that when Trump goes abroad and does this, that it reflects only on Trump. But the truth is that it reflects badly on the voters, particularly the voters that voted to put this guy in office. This type of nonsense rolls off of Trump's tongue so casually, and his supporters eat it up. Could he possibly embarrass the United States any more than he has already? And his supporters love him for this stuff because he's the simple guy, right? He's a man of the people, despite being a billionaire born with a silver spoon in his mouth. No one stops to think that, wait a second, why is a 71-year-old guy who grew up infinitely privileged and supposedly did well at a top university, he's talked about how great he did at Wharton, why is he so dumb? Why? You don't see the Trumpists asking that. And now you really are getting to understand, when we see these abortive trips around the world, now I really get why someone like Vladimir Putin would see Trump as a candidate and say, that is the perfect mark to be manipulated by a hostile foreign power. These trips, along with just about everything this guy is doing while he's stateside, they really are illuminating why it is that Putin and the Kremlin would take an interest in Donald Trump as a potential president of the United States. Send me your thoughts. I'm on Twitter at @dpacman. The show is on Twitter at @DavidPacmanShow. Follow us both.
You've been listening to part of The David Pakman Show on the Progressive Voices channel. For full audio and video podcasts, interviews, and more, go to davidpakman.com and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/The David Pakman Show.
You have no idea what a difference you've made in my life and in the life of broadcasting. You have supported the Karelcast through Patreon, and I know in this year you're going to continue not only to do it, but let's try to double what's there right now. Right now, there's about $700 a month in support. How about we get that to $1,500 by February? What if we do that? All we need to do that is to get you, the person who is not yet giving, to go and give either $5 a month or $10 a month. It's so simple. You just sign up, and then every month, just $4.99 is taken off your card. It's all secure. It's all fabulous. And I send you messages. We communicate. It's all just a great little community, a little social circle. Yeah, I won't survive in the new year without you. And I sure would like to double or triple what we got going on so we don't have to be beholden to any corporations ever. So please go to Patreon, patreon.com/Karel, and give what you can per month. It's a per month donation at patreon.com to keep us alive. It is the Karelcast. I am Karel. So very glad you are joining me, Charles Raymond Karel Boulé II. And that's me. I'm here for you. I am here live on video for the Patreon subscribers, Saturdays and Sundays, 10 to 11:30. Otherwise, I am here for you Monday through Friday, your daily stream, however you want it to be. So on weekends, I'm live for you Patreon subscribers. And then during the week, the stream is there for you whenever you want it. All right, what are we going to do right now? How about
the most from the Karel Show?
Let's look at the news of last week.
Stronger.
Go on, girl.
Stronger together.
That's like a cappella.
Stronger. Stronger.
Ooh, forgot about that. Loving that. All right, let's take a look at the most. The most viewed, the most searched, the most everything out there in the world in the last week. What you've looked at last week, what you're looking at this week. And so someone's telling me about my website, about what we need to do and how we need to do it. I'll get to it. I will, I'll get to all your concerns, your security concerns and all of that. Last week, our president went on a European, it's sort of like a Vita to me. Let's hear it for the Rainbow Tour. It seems like a marvelous success. We weren't quite sure. Would Donald shine through? The answer was no, and yes, and no, and yes, and no. So our president went abroad. And I swear to God, last week, I wanted to slap the TV because he was like, I talked to that Vladimir Putin, and he said he didn't interfere with the election. And you know what? I believe him. Are you effing kidding me? Are you effing kidding me? Okay? Are you effing? Oh, I talked to him, and he assured me that he didn't interfere in our election. Are you effing kidding me? Okay? Are you? Hi, Mark in Cleveland, a new Patreon subscriber. See, I just made an extra, I just got $4 because I took my video live on the weekends for Patreon subscribers. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. You're the reason I'm doing this, Mark. You and the other Patreon subscribers, you keep the lights on. You pay the bills. You get me live on video on Saturdays and Sundays. The rest of the world that doesn't pay for Patreon gets a fabulous podcast and radio show Monday through Friday, which I do whenever I want to, as opposed to being here live for you guys. We are taking a look at the most viewed, the most searched, the most Googled stories in the last week, meaning last week, the week of my birthday, the week of November 7th, okay?
I don't mind looking a week back. We can't look forward, right? And we know it's in the news every day. I could do a show one day a month and record it for every day. And all I would have to do is talk about shootings, obscene things in Washington, because it all stays the same. Every day, the news is the same. Although, Disneyland last week, they had an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease, which most of you don't even know what that is. I thought if you got it, you wanted to join the American Legion and wear a funny hat. That's not it, obviously. Named after the hotel where the first outbreak happened, where there was a Legionnaires convention. That's why it's called that. That happened in the news. Up in San Francisco, a lot of you in the... Although, you know what? I used to think a lot of my listeners were in the Bay Area. And while I do have a lot there, I've got them everywhere now. George, yesterday, I have to tell you, you know, the sexual assault every day this week, meaning the week of the 13th. Can you believe, by the way, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving being like in a week from Thursday. But every day there's new sexual assaults claims, right? Well, one came out, an old one came out about George Takei, okay? And we were filming Carell's Life in Segments, which is seen every Thursday at 6 o'clock on Free Speech TV. In December, we're going to do repeats on Free Speech TV because they're doing their pledge drive. So new episodes in November, repeats in December, and then new episodes in January. But yesterday we were filming, and the news came out about George Takei, and everyone in the room went, oh my, and I couldn't stop laughing. And I thought, this isn't funny. You know, he's been acute, but I just, oh my, oh my. The most popular things in the last week up in the Bay Area: police escort shot client in the head for performing oral sex incorrectly. Well, honey, if you're going to do somebody, you better do them right. They'll shoot you in the damn head. George Takei accused of sexual assault on a former model. Noe Valley woman is the first to beat Ellis Act eviction through trial. Good for her. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long it doesn't hurt anybody.
You're listening to The Carell Show.
Carell. Hey, it's Carell, and I really appreciate you checking me out on radio and podcasting. But, you know, television has always been where my heart is. And that's why I am so happy to tell you that Life in Segments is going strong on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. So tune in each and every week. Now, how about a little sample of what you're missing?
Now, I have been an outspoken, I don't say detractor of Pride festivals. But in my first book, You Can't Say That, there was an editorial called Ashamed of Pride. And just today at the Huffington Post, I published an article about my problems with gay pride. First, let's start with what Los Angeles did. And they're doing something that other pride organizations really want to do, and to the nth degree. And when you see it done this way, it sort of makes you horrified. What Los Angeles recently did was basically take the word pride out of their name. They just became LA Pride's music festival. They wanted to do basically a WeHoCella, charge a lot of money, $50 a day, and really concentrate on the music. And the reason the new director of CSW, Christopher Street West, gave was that young millennials just don't know about the history of these events, what they originally were about, and so they wanted to be more inclusive of basically millennial gay idiots, is what he was saying. Let's be really inclusive of millennial gay freaking idiots and milk them for $50 so they can go see Kesha or whoever, whatever pop star du jour, heterosexual, that they have booked for their Pride event. So as I sit here in the gay corridor of my city with rainbow, in the shadow of rainbow flags, I have to tell you that CSW statement is really what all the Pride organizations are doing. They are locking out gay and lesbian publications so they can lock in major media sponsors, or they're just locking in one major gay media sponsor and not letting other smaller publications come in. Their boards are spending untold amounts of money on things like bleachers or, you know, whatever it takes to throw a festival. No one knows how they're sourcing most of that, how, you know, if they're getting competitive bids. It's pretty much not transparent. Here in my city, Pride almost went bankrupt because of a tax problem that they had for years and years. And yet every year they throw a party that basically makes millions of dollars. And so my biggest problem with Pride is that it's not a celebration. It's not supposed to be. And that's all it's become. And let me tell you why, as I sit here and look at the people coming and going here in Long Beach on the rainbow sidewalks, not that they know even what the rainbow flag or how it came to be. But what we're celebrating, let's go back to the beginning. And for some of you who don't know, you hear about gay pride, you hear about gay pride events, and you think they're just big parties. No, they're not supposed to be parties, nor are they supposed to be festivals, okay?
That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.